ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good half or Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We get into a lot of different things. Well, not really. Actually, that's not true. We're going to get into about three different things and just have a lot of it. A lot of Oklahoma, Texas. A lot of high school fast pitch, fall baseball, regional state tournaments, high school football, and just a sprinkling of NFL is what we're going to do today. Probably a majority will be the game down in Dallas because it's one of the greatest rivalries in all of sport, and it's a really interesting game with what's happened so far this season versus what we thought coming into this season. So lots of things to discuss there. As you'll be hearing right here on these airwaves all day long, or at least this afternoon and this morning, 99-cent burgers. It's a statewide Bevo bash.
Yeah, I'm excited about
Carl's
that.
Carl's Jr.
I know where I'm going for lunch.
Which, you know, if you've never gone down to the game, living out here, the idea is not to go down I-35 unless you absolutely have to, just because there's way better ways to get to the Metroplex than that on this Friday. But if you do get yourself caught having to do that for some reason, it's a cool spot to stop and hang out there with at Carl's Jr., Marietta. It's been at Paul's Valley at times. But anyway, so there's that. You'll be hearing that all day long right here on these airwaves after us as well. So we'll get into the game. Keys, what has to happen, this and that. Also, the other games around college football. It's a really good weekend of college football nationally with some big games, ranked games. You know, it's felt like kind of after that first week, the first week was almost historically great on Labor Day weekend with all the ranked matchups, big, highly ranked teams playing each other. And then it felt like it kind of dropped off a little bit until last week, and then the games that we thought were going to be good last week were duds because right. Georgia and Alabama are just good. So hopefully that's not the case this week, and we get some good ones.
Well, Aaron, for the record, I didn't think they'd be good.
Yeah, you didn't.
I was pretty vocal about that.
You didn't think Alabama was going to have any trouble.
Nope.
What about this week? You think CBS is kicking themselves in the face for having their night – SEC matchup being Alabama and A&M. Never trust an Aggie.
No.
CBS. Don't trust the Aggies. We try to tell you.
Anybody with a brainstem could have told you that.
We try to
tell you. That's not a good idea.
We try to tell you. Now, listen, they got their quarterback hurt, and that didn't help things whatsoever. Obviously, that didn't help them, but. Is anybody surprised that as soon as the calendar turns to October, Texas A&M is out of the college football playoff race? Of course not. Death, taxes, and A&M disappointing. This is the way it goes.
That's the way it works.
So we'll hit those games around the country, big one in the Big Ten especially.
But don't worry, A&M fans. You'll still probably have some kind of plaque posted up against the side of the stadium, claiming something.
Here's the question.
Aggie gonna Aggie.
Because we know good and well that if there is a fan base within the SEC that roots harder for the conference because they can't do anything themselves, it is Aggie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will they shout from the rooftops, SEC, SEC, if at some point in the next 20 years or through perpetuity, will they still fire in with the conference chant if it happens to be Texas that's the one that's doing the winning?
Well, A&M?
Because Texas is going to be in the SEC. And so what I'm saying is, you know, A&M is all SEC, SEC, Bama, right. Georgia, yay.
Right.
Are they still going to be such great conference brethren if it's Texas that they're going to have to chant SEC for?
Oh, I see. If Texas
is the one doing the winning.
Is beating, I don't know, like a Michigan in a bowl game or something like that. That's a great question.
Whoever.
It's different in the SEC, right? It's just different. And it, you don't see us do – I don't do it. Do you do it when it's Texas in a bowl game and you want the Big 12 to look good?
No.
No.
No. Now.
And I'm sure it's maybe, not going to do it
maybe
when,
soon.
When OU and Texas are in the SEC and then that scenario comes up. I'm not rooting for Texas.
Now, don't say that because maybe what happens is as soon as that transition occurs – some sort of like fairy dust is sprinkled over you and you it's kind of like in Men in Black when they and you forget everything,
the neuralizer.
Yes. Yeah. So maybe that's what happens, and all of a sudden you're just programmed to chant that.
I will quote a great OU linebacker. Orange makes me puke.
Yeah, burn orange
makes me puke.
All right, we'll get into that game.
I don't care what conference we're in.
I actually had guys rooting for Texas. I was OU fans rooting for Texas back in 2005. Unbelievable. Against USC. Because you know why?
Why?
Because they were so scared that USC was going to win another season and a half worth of games and break a record. I'm like, are you serious? Yeah. They're at 34. They still have a whole season to go. And they're losing all these dudes. They're not going undefeated again. Plus, how in the world are you? I mean, it was sickening.
Remember, what year was it? Was it 05? No, it was later. OU opens with BYU at Jerry World.
2009.
That same weekend, it was OSU and Georgia. Georgia at OSU.
I think that was the unveiling of the new Boone Pickens Stadium. Man, it may not have been called that yet, but.
Right. And bunch of OU fans, we were at Humperdinck's over there in Arlington near the stadium. Pre-gaming, and that game was on first. I think it was 11 a.m. kickoff. And a bunch of people were rooting for OSU, and I wasn't. And they're like, Jared, why aren't you rooting for the Big 12? I'm like, because aren't they our rivals?
I think it's a little different.
When it's OSU against another team?
Mm-hmm. No one's going to want to hear why, but I think it's a little different.
Because they're in the same state. Why? Come on, say it.
Historically, OSU winning a game like that has helped Oklahoma because there hasn't been a lot of concern with being able to beat Oklahoma State if you're an OU fan.
So if OSU is ranked high and they look good.
It's kind of the icing on the cake.
I see what you're saying. So it looks good. So, like, for this year, OSU 5-0.
Perfect.
I see what you're saying.
Especially in a year when maybe the non-conference schedule has disappointed a little. If you need that extra little kick at the end.
Did you see the – I saw it in a tweet. There's only two states in the United States that have – undefeated Division I football teams.
That have more than one?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on.
Two states with undefeated Division I football teams. What two states are they, Aaron? One should be obvious.
Oklahoma.
What's the other?
Michigan. Yes. I didn't even cheat either.
That's the 2021 college football season.
I didn't cheat.
You. Oklahoma and Texas have undefeated football teams.
Maybe not after this weekend. Oklahoma and Michigan. Maybe not after this weekend.
Michigan has Nebraska.
At Lincoln at night.
Ooh. Michigan State, they challenged. I don't know if they're...
Rutgers. At Rutgers.
No. Listen, Rutgers, they're working on their way back, but I don't think...
Man, I know that...
They're working their way back.
They've bit me twice in a row on the Western Oklahoma Realty Pick'em Contest as underdogs. Haven't been able to get there. Well, maybe they did against Michigan. Can't remember what that line was. Anyway, Michigan State this week at home. 11 o'clock, sleepy kickoff. Maybe. Never know. Anyway, listen, I can tell you what happened yesterday at the fast pitch that I watched. I'm not as...
That first game was...
I'm not as familiar with what happened across the state in the smaller school state tournaments, but up at Tecumseh, man, what a game between the Elkettes and Blanchard, the Lady Lions. You know, Coach Murray was here earlier this week along with Danny Sotile, and he talked about playing Blanchard this summer and it being a tie in whatever wherever they were at and whatnot. Well, I can see why, because seven innings wasn't enough. The Elkettes scored one in the first and didn't score again until extra innings. Blanchard pushed across one in the fifth, and then all of a sudden in the eighth, Blanchard scores in the top of the eighth, and you're thinking, darn it. And then Haley Bowie lashed one out into left field for a single to tie the game, and then Emily Lawrence almost won it. A good defensive play by Blanchard to keep that thing going. And then in the 10th inning, Blanchard got a bases-loaded single, and the Elkettes weren't unable to match that. So Elk City lost 3-2 to Blanchard in 10 innings in Game 1. Turned around and played really well against Marlow, shut out the Lady Outlaws, ending their season 4-0. And so today, the Elkettes will play till they lose. And if they win three straight, they'll go to the 4A state tournament next week. They've got Blanchard first, as Tecumseh shut out Blanchard last night 1-0.
Really?
So it'll be Elk City and Blanchard in the first game. Bracket set 11. That game starts, or bracket said 12. That game starts at 11. I have that confirmed from Coach Murray. So 11 o'clock, BigElkTV.com. We'll have Elk City and Blanchard. Elimination game in that 4A regional. The winner will play immediately after against Tecumseh. They'll have to beat them twice. So it looks like the game times, as opposed to 12, 2, and 4, it's 11, 1, and 3. That will help us in a lot of different ways. Getting Hunter back is one of them. You'll have a better chance to be back a little bit closer on time than what we thought. So in the event that the Elkettes play three today. So, man, I was impressed with all those teams. Even Marlow in the 4-0 loss, they lost 4-2 to Tecumseh in the first game. And they had opportunities to put runs on the board against Elk City. Bowie threw a runner out at home in the second inning to keep Marlow off the board, and they had runners on the first, the second, the sixth inning, and then in the seventh inning, but were unable to push anything across. So Elk City will play 11 o'clock against Blanchard, Big Elk TV. Now up in kind of, you had the rundown of what happened everywhere else.
I did. Let me pull it up here.
We may be having a call here, by the way.
A call.
Yes.
I love that. From who? Because we never get calls.
Yeah, I know. I just saw a name. I saw a name that's familiar.
So weird. Let's see here. Class A, the big upset was Arapahoe Butler taking down number 2, Bingaroni, 2-1. That one also went into extra innings. That was a Class A state tournament. Arapahoe, you talk about hot teams at the right time. They're a hot team right now. They got by their region in a extra inning fashion to punch their ticket to the state tournament. And then you think, oh, well, nice run for Rappo. Now you got Bingaroni. Rappo wasn't listening to that noise. That was a nice win for them, 2-1. And it was, from what I was told, a fantastic showing from the Bingaroni pitcher. Like, how was it explained to me? Like, no hit into these extra innings. It was 0-0 going into, it was the eighth inning.
Yeah, when you text me, it was nothing in the eighth.
0-0, and her defense let her down. Arapahoe, it was 1-1. Arapahoe had a player on, or a runner at third, or bases loaded. Ball was hit to third base. Third baseman committed an error, allowed the run to score, and game over. And that, I mean, that's just a punch in the gut when you put in a pitching effort like that and you don't get the defense behind you. They'll take on Caddo. Caddo defeated Shattuck, and Caddo, they're number 3. Bingaroni was number 2. But do you think that scares Arapahoe Butler?
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Class B, go here, ahead.
Real quick, in Class A there.
Yeah.
In that fast pitch tournament, I wonder how often in the history of that tournament.
Oh, someone told me us to quit talking about high school sports. We could talk about Weatherford football if we want.
We're not going there yet.
Okay.
But we'll get there.
Okay.
I wonder how long in the how many times in the history of the fast pitch state tournament that number one and number two went down in the quarterfinals.
That is a great question.
That has to be a rarity.
Yeah, that never. That's
because a majority of the time, what you've got is great, just a great pitcher that's hard to beat. And obviously, Bingeroni had that.
Yeah, and sometimes you have that great pitcher. If you're to combat that, you just continually put pressure on the rest of the players.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if you can find a way to get on base, then apply that pressure. Be aggressive on the base paths, you know, steal the bases, stuff like that. Be real aggressive and put that pressure on the defense. You know, the more – and I say it over and over and over to my kid, you put the ball in play, good things will happen.
Everything is so condensed. Because the base pads are short, the circle is short, everything is so condensed in there that it things happen so fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was amazed yesterday a couple of different times where, especially in that Marlowe game, because it really seemed like Marlowe hit Danny more often than what Blanchard did, at least put the ball in play and actually got hits.
Really?
But there were a few times where, you know, it's like a slap down third baseline or kind of a nubber that maybe the hitter was out in front of and kind of hit it off the end of the bat down the third baseline.
Yeah.
And Lawrence was right, I mean, 10 feet, 20 feet away from the plate. I mean, I'd be scared to death that close. And it was like you almost heard the ball hit the bat and the ball hit the glove nearly simultaneously. And all of a sudden, it was at first, and they're halfway down. I'm like, man, that happened so fast. Like, I didn't even have time to say ground ball to Lauren. She's out at first. That's exactly how it went.
That's why
when you can put it in play, everything's going fast. The runner's going fast. The ball's going harder, and the fielders have to make quick snap decisions.
Get it out of their glove. They got to know exactly where to go.
It's different than baseball when you see a ground ball hit to the shortstop. They pat their glove twice and then fire it over.
Yeah.
You ain't got time to do that on the fast pitch field.
To throw it, yeah. And again, you got to know what to do before the play even happens. So that's something I preach too to all our girls is tell yourself what you're going to do with the ball if it's hit to you. You know, look at the situation. You know, it's just a fun sport. That's why the popularity of it is just skyrocketed as of late.
All right, go ahead. Class B.
Class B is a fun one in Hammond. Hammond was down 5-0 to Lakeba Sickles in the fifth inning. And they come back and win it 7-5. Let's see here. Other teams in Class B.
They play Moss next, right?
They play Moss. That's right. They beat Arnett 6-1. Other games, Navajo, a local team. They defeated Red Oak 6-5. Roth over Turner 1-0. Whitesboro over Buffalo Valley 6-0. It's funny. I mentioned all these teams, and it's just the same old teams that are in the Big House.
So in Class B, you've got Moss and Hammond in the semifinal, Roth and Whitesboro in a semifinal. And then in Class A, you got Cyril and Navajo, and you got Caddo and Arapaho Butler.
You know what time? Do you have a
– Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
I had it, and I clicked off of it.
We can get that going.
Here. Class B, 2:30 for Hammond and Moss, 4 o'clock for Roth and Whitesboro. Then in Class A, you've got 2:30 for Ripley and Navajo, 11 o'clock is the Caddo and Arapaho Butler start.
Awesome. Okay.
What about fall baseball? Hey, I just got a text, and we got to give it up to a young man.
I love, other than myself.
We've got to give it up to a young man.
Who are we giving it up to?
Maddox. Kobe Maddox.
Did you see his line?
14 straight shutout innings in the fall baseball state tournament.
Did you see his line from yesterday?
No. Shutout.
I can find that. It was, they couldn't touch a kid. Could touch him. Canute won 5-0 over Red Oak. They get number one Oaktahall today at 11 a.m. And boy, I bet they're ready to go in that one. And I did not see the scores from the other one. I think
I got it right here. I've got her.
Okay, I'm going to find that.
Dale beat Rattan 11-4. Silo beat Tushka 5-2. So 11 o'clock for Oaktahaw and Canute. Dale and Silo 2 o'clock.
Kobe Maddox, 7 innings, complete game. Only gave up 3 hits yesterday. Walked nobody. 6 strikeouts.
Did I say Ripley? I meant Cyril. I've got it written down. Cyril won that game 2-1. I must have said Ripley's playing Navajo. It's Cyrilla Navajo.
Cyrilla Navajo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Cyrilla, that's right, because
Ripley was number one.
Yeah, upset him. Yeah.
I just said it the wrong way. Yeah. Plays Navajo. Cyrilla won 2-1 over Ripley. Navajo beat Red Oak 6-5.
Back to baseball. How did Canute win this thing last year?
Pitching. They gave up 2 runs in 3 games.
Kind of a mirror image.
I mean, it's listen.
And that's what he does. That's what Gillette does. He throws his best pitcher out there first, best available. And Kobe Maddox is obviously the best available.
You know,
he was unhittable.
You know the fastest way to not be able to win the next game? Lose the current one.
Exactly. You can't play the what if game. Yeah.
I mean, you try to, and I get it. There's times where you try. But the last thing you want to do is to get beat and then think back to yourself, oh, my Lord, what was I thinking?
Right.
You have to win Thursday to be able to try to win Friday. And congratulations, Kobe Maddox. That's just awesome. Awesome pitching. In that pressure-packed arena, last year in the finals against Fort Cobb, a 1-0 win for Canute to win the state title, and then yesterday, 5-0. These guys gave him a little bit more breathing room. But, 14 innings of shutout baseball in the fall baseball state tournament for Kobe Maddox the last 2 years. That's awesome. Very awesome.
Very awesome. Very cool.
Then in Class B, I got those scores. Roth beat Granite 12-4. Keeba Sickles 10-3 over Boswell. So those two play. If I'm not mistaken, that's the top of that bracket. And then Fort Cobb knocked out Leedy 7-5. Glencoe over Tupelo 3-2. So Fort Cobb and Glencoe at 2 o'clock. Edmund Santa Fe, the other semifinal, is Keeba Sickles and Roth. That's at 11 at Edmund Santa Fe. And then tomorrow, the finals will be at the Brick. 12:05 for Class B, so I assume they'll go first. And then Class A will follow 3:30 or something like that. 3 o'clock. Good stuff. Good stuff all around. What about high school football tonight? Elks and Chickasha. I tell you what, let's take a break.
Okay.
Let's take a break, and then we'll get into the high school football coming up tonight. OU Texas talk obviously coming as well. Western Oklahoma, man. Western Oklahoma and like a 30-mile stretch of highway between like Shawnee and Ada.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit further toward McAllister in some parts, but that they rule this time of year.
Yep.
All right, Jared, take over for a second.
Taking over for a second. You okay?
The coffee went down the wrong pipe.
I hate that. I hate that.
Where am I?
Right. We are a day away from the Red River.
Yeah, but that's tomorrow. What's happening tonight?
Oh, okay. We got to go in chronological order, I see.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right,
tonight.
So tonight, Elks, Chickasha. Elk City coming off their first loss of the season on the road to Bethany last week. Chickasha has opened up the district schedule 1-1 as well, 3-2 overall. Losses to Marlow and Clinton. This is one of the – there's going to be a few games from now until the end of the season that are going to kind of shape and mold and determine where the playoff seedings are, who's going to make it into the dance, and so forth. And this is certainly one of those games. The winner of this game has a huge leg up on the loser. First off, they've got the tiebreaker. And if it's Chickasha, they also have the extra little nugget of already playing Clinton. Whereas the Elks don't have that at this moment. So it's not calling it, a must-win for either side. But whichever team wins this game tonight is going to really kind of jump into that, third or fourth discussion. I'm not convinced it's, Elgin's the other 1-1 team. I'm not convinced that they're there.
Not after what we saw.
Obviously a different team, or maybe Weatherford was just so overvalued in the preseason that now the district has started, they're, struggling with this or that or whatever, but they clearly –
injuries are playing a factor into that.
No doubt, but preseason number 4 or 5 in the state was way off base. I mean, that's just the truth. And the problem for the Eagles is they haven't played what looks to be outside of Newcastle, I guess maybe, and we'll see tonight. Maybe Chickasha is, but you look at the schedule that they have left, and it's kind of the teams you'd think might be in the playoffs by the time it's all said and done. So you know, their schedule gets harder as, you know, their struggles become more apparent there. And so I still kind of think the winner of this game, along with Clinton, Bethany, Newcastle, and I'm not going to write off Cash yet by any stretch. I know Elgin's 1-1, but I just don't see it with what we saw. And so to me, the winner of this game and those other four, you've kind of got 5-4, and then the games become bigger as we go, as we move along throughout the district schedule.
Yeah, so it's kind of, again, we mentioned this last week, the more we get into this district, the more we know. You know, we'll know a lot after Elk City plays Chickasha, where Chickasha is. I mean, I think we have a good feeling, a good pulse of what Elk City is, and if they play a complete game, they're going to be a really good team or a really hard out for anybody. So what Chickasha team shows up, the team that went to Weatherford or the team that hosted Clinton, who knows? Two, there's a game east of us that could be telling too, Cash and Clinton. You know, you haven't written off Cash yet. You know, I know Clinton had their way with Chickasha last week. More and more I watch Clinton, I don't want to peg them as a one-dimensional team, but if no one's stopping that one dimension of the run, why do they have to throw it? Cash is always historically putting out a stout defense, so we could, again, after tonight, really the picture gets clearer and clearer.
Yeah, and like I mean, I'm not ready to write a Cash off, but man, starting 0-3, that puts the pressure on you to win every single game. But when you look at who they played after tonight, they will have played Bethany, Newcastle, and Clinton. And so if, you know, that game either next week at Chickasha or the week after against the Elks looms so large for Cash to stay in the race. Because you start out 0-3, I think it's going to take 4-3
to get into
the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so at that point, if Cash can't pull off an upset tonight at Clinton, then you're 0-3 and having to run the table. But, you know, maybe two of those, they haven't played Elgin or Weatherford yet to this point. And, you know, that may be advantageous to them scheduling-wise. And maybe Elgin's better than what they showed against the Elks a couple weeks ago. You know, they've got Bethany at home. We'll see. I mean, I don't believe they have much of a chance to beat Bethany. But if they stay in that game, make it a game, or even somehow win that game, then all of a sudden that totally changes the perception of everything that's going on. I don't think that's happening. I think when you get done with tonight, you're going to have a couple of teams at 1-2, and you're going to have a couple of teams at 2-1, along with the 3-0s in Clinton and Bethany.
I don't recall Elgin have anybody out against us, do you?
Not that I know. I know the running back went out, the sophomore running back, who had been a really good player up to that point.
Yeah.
Went out fairly early in that game. Having said that, it was already 20-0 or something like that. But that definitely changed their offensive philosophy, not having their kind of bell cow to run the football back there with Matthew Lund. And here's the truth about Elgin. As they move along with a freshman quarterback, there's going to be growth for them, and they're going to get better. Just because as he gets more experience and understands what they're trying to do, that's obviously going to help that team. I'm not ready to put them into the category of maybe those other five, possibly six, depending on Cash.
Right. I'm right there with you. Yeah. So, I mean, one already final in 4A1 last night. We alluded to it, Weatherford losing to Newcastle. And so let me ask right now, after this week, who do you think the top four in the district are?
Let me answer
or
that.
Or before. I mean.
Let me answer that question about 9:30 tonight.
Okay.
I think it's Clinton, Bethany, Newcastle, and whoever wins tonight between the Elks and Chickasha. But having said that, Cash has shown the ability to win the important games for the last few years. And they're going to have, regardless of the outcome tonight, you know, a win in Clinton tonight gives them, you know, kind of a mulligan later on.
Yeah.
A loss tonight gives them zero margin for error, in my opinion, but just because I think you're going to have to win four district games to make it to the playoffs. And at that point, they have to run the table. But, you know, it's a win on the road at Chickasha and a win at home against the Elks, and all of a sudden you're going to Elgin with a chance to really make some noise. And so I think from the results that we've seen, I think the best four are Clinton, Bethany, Newcastle, and the Elks. That's who I think it is.
That Newcastle versus Oak City game suddenly looked real big.
Could be.
And we mentioned the cash game on the road.
It could be to avoid Tuttle.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Avoid Tuttle and what? Go to Blanchard?
Or Hera.
Hera, yeah.
Depending on how that district shakes out. You know what's kind of a bad break? And there's still a lot of games to go. But as of right now, the district champion in 4A1, you know who they would get? Cushing.
Cushing, yeah.
Hey. It's kind of a tough one for the first rattle out of the box.
You think Cushing will?
They probably move up a little
work
bit.
Things out,
and maybe that's you're trying to avoid.
Probably going
to
win it versus Tecumseh today. I'm just looking at their schedule: Tecumseh, mm-hmm. John Marshall, Blanchard, Ada, Hera. I mean, that one loss came to a number one Tuttle. You'd think they'd be okay, right?
Yeah, they're probably moving up the list. I think at some point.
I think they get to two,
and that maybe that. You know, that game at the end is either...
Maybe to avoid them.
Tuttle or Cushing. I mean, listen, it looks to me...
Yeah, you really want to get in top two in 4A1.
Yeah, you do.
You don't want anything to do with Tuttle or Cushing.
Well, guess what?
To start things
off. That's who it is, if it turns out to be Tuttle and Cushing, then the second place team gets rewarded with Blanchard. It's not that great.
Never a picnic.
I think what we're trying to tell you is, without saying it out loud, 4A2 looks better than 4A1.
Yeah, I think that's. Yeah, I thought I thought at the beginning of the year 4A1 looked like a dogfight. It's becoming top heavy. And 4A2, I mean, are you really counting out Ada?
Yeah.
Still Ada. They sneak into the top four.
Yeah, they're not.
You know, you got to turn around and host them if you're a Clinton.
Not happening. Unless,
now, they've lost to Blanchard, didn't they?
Yeah, what's Hera doing? Have they played anybody? I don't know. We'll see.
They lost to 3A Seminole.
That's probably it. That's probably Ada and Hera will determine the last spot there.
Yeah.
In that district. Class A, you know what we got tonight, Jared?
Homecoming in the county of Beckham.
It's the battle for Beckham County.
That's right. Merritt's homecoming, Oak City's homecoming.
Sayre's headed to Merritt tonight.
A lot of football right here in this county.
Carrie, the newspaper guy, is the most happy guy there is.
Why is that?
Because he could drive like 10 miles and see both games instead of, you know, think about it a couple weeks ago when it was Hooker and Texoma.
Oh, yeah.
Was that last week? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hooker, Texoma, and Bethany for the three Beckham County teams. Instead, tonight it's just two locales all at home. Merritt looking for their first win. Both teams played pretty well up in the panhandle last week against tough opponents. Sayre lost to Hooker 22-7. Merritt was a point short of Texoma 7-6. So those two will play. One of them will get their first district win. What's the big game? Burns Flat headed to Fairview.
They need a bounce back.
Not the best place to try to get it.
That's a tough place to try to get it.
Hooker's got Thomas, which normally you'd be thinking, hey, that ought to be a good one. Thomas... a little bit down this year, obviously. And then Moreland will take on Texoma. And as you talked about the cream rising kind of to the top of 4A1, it feels like Class A, that's happened as well with the three, Fairview, Hooker, and Moreland, just a notch above Burns Flat and Texoma and the rest there. But, yeah, it'll be fun. We'll see what that result out there between Merritt and Sayre. Both have played pretty good football at times, and both have played not so good football at times. It feels like Merritt has been a little bit more consistent, even though they've yet to notch a win. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't been able to figure out a way to win 2 1-point losses. And so the common opponent so far, they played way tougher than Sayre did against Oklahoma Christian. And so we'll see what happens there at Merritt tonight between those two teams. What else you got? High school football.
You covered it. I mean, we're really into week 6.
No kidding.
Isn't that nuts?
Doesn't even make sense.
It's a busy day of high school athletics.
Don't forget, you've got about, 25 hours to make your picks for the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. 72. Is that where it finally ended? 73. 73 entrants strong. Get your picks in. I don't want anybody whining about, oh, I forgot. I would have won, but I forgot. Well, guess what?
That's like saying, part
of winning the contest is being mature enough to make the picks.
That's like saying, oh, I had those lottery numbers. I just didn't play. Well, that doesn't count.
Make your picks. Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. Thank you, everybody, for playing. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. Go see them for all your real estate needs down there at Western Oklahoma Realty.
You know, Aaron, yesterday I was doing Tradio, and I got a text message right in the middle of the show, and I about fell out of my chair. His friend who said, I got 4 free tickets to Saturday's game if you want to go with me.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't.
Why not?
I got obligations, family obligations, tomorrow night, so I can't do
Don't.
It.
Don't. I mean, it's going to be a...
They cannot be changed. They cannot be rescheduled.
Don't 4 free tickets to OU Texas supersede any other sort of obligation?
Okay. I'm pretty sure you have my wife's phone number. You can tell her that.
I don't think so.
And see how that works.
I don't have it. I'm just asking. I would have thought they would. I would have thought that when you could text Allie and go, gosh, I know we're supposed to do whatever tomorrow, but for free, it's kind of like a hall pass for the year.
Listen to me.
What about 4 free OU Texas tickets?
I attempted. I was treading down that path lightly. I sent her a message. Hey, guess what? I had these off. I was waiting for her to go, you know what? I think you should take it. It was more like, well, too bad you got this going on.
Kind of walking on eggshells just a tick. Like, maybe.
You're right, dear. You're right. You had this plan for a few weeks.
You're right about
that.
You are
correct.
I can't wait for...
And she's like, I planned this around this game, so you could watch the game and then we can go to this. She was considerate in that fact of knowing when the game was.
So are you telling me that this year's Christmas pictures from the Atha family will be decked out in OU gear?
They're not Christmas pictures.
Okay. Are they pictures? Family pictures?
They're fall.
Oh, pictures. No.
We'll be pumpkins around us.
Oh, no.
I may or may not be holding a Sam Adams Oktoberfest
no,
beer in one
no,
hand or something.
No, no, no. Say it ain't so, Allie. Say it ain't so.
Over here in beautiful Ackley Park.
Because here's the thing. This may not be the case every year, but this year, old Skinny's wife isn't in town tomorrow. So it'd have been a pretty easy deal to get me one of those tickets to head down to Dallas.
I was thinking about that too last night. It's like, who would I take?
Well, I could sure go. I haven't been in a few years.
Contemplated doing the one-day tripper.
Yeah, here's the thing about
that. Contemplated that. I've done it before. Not to this game, but to the Big 12 championship game. I've done it. But there's no way I could have. I need to get back here by like 6:30.
The pictures.
Yes, that would have been pushing it.
Yeah, it ain't happening.
I mean, got to get out of that traffic, out of the Metroplex.
Got to get out of the stadium.
Got to get out of the stadium. I mean, that game, what, ends at round 2:30?
2:30. You wouldn't be to your car until 3 or 3:30. For sure.
It's a 3-hour, I mean, listen, I looked at every angle.
Way to avoid this problem was to reschedule those pictures.
Not with this photographer. She does a great job. I'm not bashing the photographer. She does a great job. She does a great job for us. We use her all the time. And I actually think there's other family involved, too.
Oh.
See, so it's what it is. And I'm not complaining,
Allie. Is there a chance that the other family is OSU fans and they're doing this out of spite to you, Jared?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
That'd have been too bad.
They wouldn't have done that.
This does go back to the – it's a little different situation, but I think for married guys, it's kind of the same thing. Like scheduling weddings in the fall is such a brutal idea.
Careful. I've got chewed out about that one, too, for something I said on air.
All right, let's talk about the game, or the other games. Iowa-Penn State, number 3 versus number 4. That game is in Iowa City. Iowa's defense has been off the charts good. And then finally last Friday, in a spot that you were kind of worried about for Iowa at Maryland, man, the offense showed up. They lay 50 on the board against the Terrapins, and Iowa looks, you know, really solid. Going into the Iowa State game, you could make the case after that first week of the beatdown of Indiana. Well, I mean, they had two or three pick sixes, whatever. What about the offense? And then they pretty well controlled Iowa State for the most part. That defense has scored touchdowns. You know, Breece Hall fumbled it away at the five, and Iowa just picked it up and ran it in. Penn State, on the other hand, a win over Auburn, to their credit, and also Wisconsin. So both of these teams pretty battle-tested going into this game at Iowa City tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, with Penn State and Iowa. Ought to be a good one.
That's going to be fun. I kind of
is it going to be fun, though?
It's going to be a Big Ten game.
Or is it going to be like 10-7?
It's going to be a Big Ten game, exactly. And I think those are fun, don't you?
No.
You don't like those low-scoring defensive?
I'm all about the high-flying Big 12, which actually this year seems kind of boring.
It is,
because it's not as
so
high-flying.
Much, yeah. I think it's going to be great. I think we're going to see a good game. I've said it earlier in the week. I think Penn State's the better team, but this is an Iowa City, and we'll see. I think Penn State wins, but I think it is like a 10-7, 13-10 type of game. I mean, it's going to be down to the wire, down to the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it feels like a close one.
Who makes that mistake? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, a mistake or a play.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, one play, and it could be a defensive play.
Very well could be. And if it is a defensive play, that means the Hawkeye will be flying, because they've had a knack for doing that. Georgia-Auburn. Man, can you – listen, I get it. Georgia has looked great so far. There is no doubt about that. But on the road in Jordan-Hare, on the plains of Alabama, upwards of a 15.5 to 16-point favorite over the Auburn Tigers, man, that's a lot of love for Georgia. And you think it's warranted.
Yes, I
do. I can already
do.
Tell by the look on your face.
Yeah, I do. Did you watch Auburn and LSU?
I did not.
Bo Nix had to pull a rabbit out of his hat more
Bo
than
Nix
once.
Bo Nix pulls rabbits out of his hat.
He had to do it more than once to beat LSU.
LSU's not very good.
No. Georgia's very good. He can't continue that magic against this Georgia defense. He cannot.
Boy, did they not put a pop knot on Arkansas's head just immediately. That game was over.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing Auburn has going for him, it is in Jordan-Hare.
Yeah, it is.
It's a big thing.
Sneaky. Sneaky. Look out for Bo Nix being sneaky. Here's the deal. I think this is either going to be a close one, or Bo Nix is going to throw the game away early and Georgia's going to pound him. I don't see kind of a normal game here.
I think they get into Bo Nix's face early.
They have
often.
To everybody else. Arkansas, Mississippi. Ole Miss and Arkansas both coming off losses to the big dogs in the SEC. Big game for either one of these teams to try to stay in touch in the SEC West. Ole Miss, Matt Corral, Arkansas with the run game. I'm anxious to see which team can bounce back here.
I think it's Ole Miss.
I do, too. I do, too. And then we already talked about Bama and A&M. I give Nebraska a little bit of a shot against
too.
Michigan.
Absolutely.
Kentucky hosting LSU. This feels like a game where Kentucky blows it.
Coming off the high of last
yes.
week.
Yes. Yeah. LSU's been terrible all year, 3-2. Eddie O fighting for his job.
Yeah.
Possibly. Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, that one looks a little intriguing. All right, big game down in Dallas. It's enough of this. Oklahoma and Texas. If I say this phrase, Jared, answer it for me. Texas wins if?
If Robinson runs over 200 yards.
That's the only way.
Yeah, because it's about ball control. They have to hold the ball longer. Move the football. It's clear. I think it's him and only him. I don't trust Thompson to win the game for him. It's not a knock on Thompson, just a first year guy in this game. There has not been a lot of success for guys like that. I think that's the factor. If Texas wants to win this game, keep the ball out of the hands of the OU offense, who, you know, let's face it, they always potentially have that ability to explode. And even when Kansas State kept the ball out of OU's hands last week, they still scored 37. So I think that continues, or is going to have to continue, for Texas to win. Ball control, run the football, run the football, run the football, have success doing it. Robinson over 200 yards and a couple touchdowns. He's going to have to be the player of the game for Texas to win.
Yeah, I think it's the other side. I think Texas wins if their defense does something they haven't done yet, and that's kind of stop the run, pressure the quarterback, and make Rattler move off his spot and make decisions that aren't conducive to great plays like he did last week against Kansas State. I've convinced myself on this game that the Texas offense and the OU defense is strength on strength, and that's going to basically be a wash, whatever that looks like. Neither one's going to dominate. They're both going to make some plays, and it comes down to the other side of it. And for Texas to win, in my opinion, they have to be able to stop the run, make OU one-dimensional, and then from there you get Rattler kind of flustered and trying to make the big play when he doesn't need to, and kind of forcing it and becoming impatient. So obviously Oklahoma wins if the offense shows up. And isn't this so interesting? from a perception standpoint, how much the perception out there is that Texas has by far the better offense. Isn't that interesting?
I got to stop you right there. Why am I being claimed that I'm on drugs on the text line?
I don't know. What happened?
I want to know why. What did I say that was wrong?
I haven't seen that.
Right, one, no. I don't know how my opinion is wrong, but right, anyway, I just want to know why my opinion is wrong. Opinions are opinions. Sorry, go ahead. I'm just defending myself. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I still haven't seen any text like that.
I just saw it. Just came on.
On your phone?
Oh, because I didn't take the tickets.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah,
thanks
listen,
for clarifying.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with that.
Okay.
I'm going to agree.
Oh, man. I hope that you're married and would understand why I didn't take the tickets.
I'm married and I don't understand
it. Come on!
All right, so anyway, OU wins if.
Well, I mean, it's just piggybacks on what I said about Texas. OU wins if they defend the run.
Now this has,
and that's as simple as I'm going to put it. Put a period on that. If they defend the run, because I keep thinking about Texas's defense. I don't think they're going to slow down OU's offense enough to win the game if they cannot have success in the run game. So if OU is to win this game, they have to defend the run, put the ball in Thompson's hands, and try to make him win this game. So it starts there. You have to defend the run if you're OU.
See, I think it's super interesting because in my mind, so you think OU wins a shootout if it becomes
I got a score if it
because
if
I think Texas's best chance to win this is a shootout.
Okay.
I don't feel like you're on that side. I think you think it needs to be more in the 24-21 side for Texas to win. I think they need to be in the 40s, high 30s to 40s for Texas to win. And here's why.
For Texas to win.
For Texas to win, because I don't think they can stop Oklahoma. Their defense has proven nothing, even this quote-unquote shell of the OU offense that we've seen compared to what we thought it was going to be or what most people thought it was going to be, even that. Texas has shown no ability to even stop that offense, much less the one if OU gets it rolling with Rattler and the running game and all that. So in my mind, that's why I think – I don't think Texas can hold OU under 30. I really don't.
I don't either.
And so, therefore, they have to win a shootout. Have to. I just don't see it. I don't
– You don't see Texas
– I don't see Texas slowing Oklahoma down to the point where OU only scores in the high teens
or
20s.
The defense is glaring to me how
it's
bad.
It is by far the biggest weakness in this game.
Right. That's why it's glaring to me. I mean, you would think if you're OU, you're like, man, we went up against some pretty good defense in West Virginia, Kansas State, Nebraska. We finally get a break.
I don't disagree with that. Now, Bijan Robinson's great. There's no doubt about that. And maybe if he does get rolling, then Texas is able to milk the clock a little bit and keep OU's offense off the field. But it's just so amazing to me the difference in the perception of Oklahoma's offense from before the season, heck, the halftime of Tulane till now. It's completely different. And some of it ought to be – maybe there's some reason for it. But, I mean, last week, K-State, they had the ball 9 times. One of them was just kneeling it out at the end of the game. So 7 out of 8 possessions, they scored. That is unbelievably good offense.
That's efficient.
Unbelievably
Rattler
good offense.
Rattler was efficient. I mean,
now
I kind of cling on that as not so much offense being back, but offense looked more promising.
The difference is on the points scored, they're not getting as many possessions, and here's the reason why. The defense is allowing the fourth downs, the third, those long drives.
Yeah.
I think it'll be super interesting if Oklahoma wins the toss, what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it in your mind, you're thinking, okay, OU wins the toss. They have to take the ball. Get going. Don't allow Texas to start the way Nebraska started, start the way West Virginia started, and have a 7 or 8 minute drive, and all of a sudden, and if it results in a touchdown, then that's the way it happens. Oh, yeah, I got to do Tradio.
Yeah. You want to give a score? You want to give a prediction?
No.
Come on, go on.
I don't want anybody following me on the pick'em contest the way I'm leaning.
Oh.
3.5 isn't enough, I'll tell you that right now. How about 38-28?
Close to me, 34-23 OU.
And I'll come in here and eat crow if it doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.